This is the Canadian Taxpayers Federation podcast, where we are fighting for lower taxes, less waste, and accountable government every single day. Joining me now are my two good friends, Franco Derrazano, he's our federal director in Ottawa, and Carson Binda, he is our British Columbia director. He is somehow managing to pay rent in downtown Vancouver. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We have a lot to talk about. Folks, stay tuned for some crazy wasteful spending that is happening at the mayor level in British Columbia. You might think that a mayor's duty is already to attend meetings, but you would be wrong in British Columbia. They actually get extra money for showing up, kind of, to a meeting. We're going to save that for a second. First, Franco, I wanted you to paint me a little picture, because you're right in the heat of it. You're right in the monster's mouth in Ottawa. Are bureaucrats, like, freaking out right now because Prime Minister Mark Carney is sort of kind of talking about maybe finding a couple of bucks of savings?
Yeah, look, the government union bosses are fear-mongering over a spending review. Over a spending review, okay? But here, let me just paint a picture of what's going on, right? So most of our audience, most of our listeners here, like, you know that the Carney government said that they're going to get do a spending review, comprehensive, blah, 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 look in the books and look where they can save some money. But first, let me, like, paint the picture of the what's actually going on with the spending numbers. Like, I know our audience, I know everyone out there, you know the federal government's been wasting your money like crazy, but let me actually break it down concretely for you. Okay, so in 2015, the federal government spent $296 billion. And that was 2015. Sorry. 2024, $540 billion. Okay. So it went from $296 billion in 2015 to $540 billion in 2024. Folks, even after accounting for inflation, that's a 43% increase in spending. Okay. now, you know, let's break it down even further, okay? Because I hear a lot of people saying, well, it's COVID. COVID is the reason that this spending got jacked up like crazy. The truth of the matter is that's just incorrect. So in 2018, the last real full year before any of the pandemic had touched down in Canada, 2018, 2019, the federal government was spending all-time highs, even after accounting for inflation and population growth. So in the year before COVID, the federal government was spending more money than it did during any single year during World War II, okay? Spending more money than what the government was doing fighting the Nazis. Then fast forward
just
to COVID.
Just one sec, Franco, that is adjusted for inflation and population, folks.
Both.
Yeah.
Both. Okay. Yeah, both,
crazy
okay?
Pants.
Okay, then COVID touches down, okay? And the government uses a cloud of a pandemic to go on a debt-fueled spending spree. Okay, so during COVID, the federal government announces about $570 billion of new spending. That's a lot of money. $205 billion of that had nothing to do with the pandemic. So $200 billion of the new spending, nothing to do with COVID, okay? And then COVID ends, and the government promises savings, okay? The government in 2023 says, we'll find $15 billion in savings. Okay. 2024... the government increases spending by $25 billion. Folks, when you increase spending by $25 billion, you're saving money wrong.
No kidding. Okay, so I wanted to stress what you just said here, because a lot of times government gets away with this stupid spending because they scurry under the cloud of COVID or the pandemic or the lockdown. Number one, remember when the government tried to say, oh, we're not going to account for any of our spending going forward? Hope you don't mind. Yeah, all of us minded, so that wasn't okay. Two, during the lockdown, they did the worst possible thing they could do. As Franco has taught us many times, they fired up the money printing machine while locking down our manufacturing and industry and making stuff sector. So they inflated the money supply while restricting the stuff making supply. So as Franco always says, you have too many dollars chasing too few things. I guess that's why we have inflation now, Franco, it tells me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not an economist, but
that is the inflation tax, right? When during the heart of the pandemic, the central bank, the Bank of Canada, prints up more than $300 billion straight out of thin air. Not to mention the economy was in revolving lockdowns, revolving house arrest for the better part of, 3 years. So you have all this influx of new cash printed out of thin air. And of course, the problem is you can't print up farmland out of thin air. You can't print up tomatoes, peaches, salad out of thin air. And of course, you can't print up new homes out of thin air. Right. So you had essentially the central bank printing up new dollars, financing Ottawa's deficits while the economy was going through revolving lockdowns. The perfect storm for inflation. Too many dollars chasing too few goods.
And now we're in this pickle where we have got close to 100,000 new bodies, 100,000 new human beings working for the federal government, or their federal government employees, rather. And now we've got the bureaucrats freaking out because Carney has said out loud with his face that he wants a review. Now, I'm old enough to remember back during the Harper years when Harper said, hey, cabinet ministers, could you guys please find between 5 and 8% of savings within your departments? They spazzed. Like, they freaked out. Everybody was picketing. It was nuts. Everybody said that they couldn't find savings. And to paint people a picture who haven't been to Ottawa, especially when the House is in session, when you're in the downtown core, at least before the lockdowns especially, most people running around that you'd see on the sidewalks had lanyards around their necks. And the typical question when you're starting a conversation with somebody you just met is, who are you with? Hmm. And that would mean, what department are you with? There are so many bureaucrats. It's like a termite hill there. So when you start stirring that around with a stick, saying, hey, we need to cut back on spending here and we need to reduce it, they're going to hit the panic button. Franco, do you think that they're going to be able to achieve these savings? Like, do you think Carney's serious about this? I keep this little flame of hope alive, thinking that he's going to be like a Paul Martin liberal and say, you know what? Rubber's hitting the road. Interest crisis is right here with the debt. We got to find savings. Do you think this could happen?
Well, it's hard to know what's in anyone's mind, right? Yeah. It's hard to know what I'm thinking most of the times, let alone somebody else, right? But look, okay. Let me just go off what we've seen, like what is actually publicly available information, right? So, okay. So he announces this comprehensive spending review and it's like, okay, find 7.5% of savings next year, up to 10% the year after. And then by 2028, we want to see 15% of savings, right? 15% savings. Now, this doesn't include the entire budget. This is only part of the budget. You've heard him say, you know, spend less, you can invest more, yada, yada, yada. Split the operating budget from the capital budget. So straight off the hop, all the savings that he's talking about 15% savings by 2028, that doesn't apply to the entire federal budget. We haven't seen the exact details of what that's going to be applied to, but we know it's not applied to the entire budget. But the second thing, and I think the most important thing, is that from what I've seen from Carney, whether it's the election platform, whether it's reports about this spending review, or whether it's his own throne speech, is that I don't think the Carney government is actually going to cut spending. Okay, so I don't think the top line spending number is going to go down. In fact, I think the top line spending number is still going to go up, right? Even beyond the Trudeau levels. What I think is going to happen, based on what is publicly available documents, is that spending is going to increase. It's just going to increase at a slower rate, right? So instead of spending going up maybe 9% a year, it looks like he's going to try to bring some spending down, or spending increase, to about 2% a year. So from everything that I can see, even with the spending review, it looks like spending is still going to go up, maybe just not as fast as what spending was going up under Trudeau. Maybe. Like, that seems to me like best case scenario, at least right now.
Let me put on my mainstream journalist hat here for a second and play devil's advocate. The Prime Minister has explained to all of us children that he is going to separate the budget between operating budget and capital budget, and that he's not spending, he's going to be investing. Can you please explain to us the difference of what the heck he's talking about? Like, do the people that we owe our debt to care if this is capital spending or operational spending? Is there a difference, or is this all just more debt?
Well, I didn't spend money on a 24-pack of Keith's on Saturday. I invested money on a 24-pack of Keith's on Saturday.
Did that work when you made explanation?
Yeah. Look, I joke, but I mean, that is actually one of the biggest concerns, is that You know, a tax dollar spent is a tax dollar spent regardless of what a politician wants to call it. And I think that's the biggest concern, right? Is that they're just going to relabel what they're calling spending, but they're still going to spend a crazy amount of money. Now, look, maybe you can argue that there are better ways to spend money. You know, maybe instead of a sex toy show in Germany, they build a bridge. And I guess you can argue that that's better spending. But the problem
Thank you for not saying the title this time. I appreciate that.
But look, the problem is a couple of things. Number one, as I mentioned, if you're just relabeling what you're spent, like what you're calling spending, then, I mean, a dollar spent is a dollar spent. Number two is that after, I mean, years of runaway spending, the government should be able to actually cut spending while still spending money on stuff that taxpayers want. Like if taxpayers want more money on defense, for example, well, after the massive bloat in the federal government, they should still be able to find savings in other areas to actually bring the total level of spending down. Okay. And then the final thing to remark on here is that if you look at Carney's election platform, right, that's all we can go on. We don't have a budget. Well, he plans to add $225 billion to the debt over the next 4 years. Almost $100 billion more of debt than what Trudeau was planning to do, right? Interest charges already costing taxpayers more than $1 billion every single week. So, like, with all this additional spending, regardless of what Carney wants to call it, that will still balloon the debt. And crucially important, it'll mean even more money wasted on interest charges.
Okay, we're going to get to Carson's wine and cheese and sandwich parties in a second here. But I wanted to cover off a couple more things here. I found it interesting when Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre, I'm paraphrasing him, he was on mainstream media, I think it was on Friday, and they were saying, oh, well, you know, you lost your seat because he, of course, was running in the Carleton area, which is largely populated by bureaucrats, people who work for the federal government. And the scuttlebutt is on the street that the door knocking went something like this. Knock, knock, who's there? Your Liberal candidate. Okay, Pierre Poilievre is going to cut your job. So apparently that's how things went. And Poilievre is now saying, hey, man, at least I was being honest, saying I was going to reduce the amount of bureaucrats in Ottawa. I don't remember specific numbers coming out of his mouth when he was talking about reducing the size of government. He did say smaller government, though, which is important. So I want you, Franco, you're there in Centertown. You don't need to win a seat.
Sure don't.
You can say what you want about the need for cuts. Make us the case. Where do they need to cut when it comes to the federal government, and by how much?
Well, the bureaucracy is first and foremost. Look, the bureaucracy now consumes more than half of the government's day-to-day spending. More than half. Okay, so when we talk about the fact that interest charges are costing taxpayers $1 billion every week, so essentially, look at a hospital. You're burning down a hospital every single week with just the money that is being wasted on interest charges, okay? The debt more than doubled in a decade. So if you're worried about your kids and grandkids being stuck with this debt bill for the rest of their lives, if you're worried about the fact that, you know, government money printing overspending, higher interest rates, right, increased inflation, okay? If you're worried about your tax bills going up, well, then you have to be worried about the size and cost of the bureaucracy. And like, look, it's just so inefficient, folks, right? Like, the cost of the bureaucracy has gone up 73% since 2016. Like, are you getting anywhere close to 73% better services from the federal bureaucracy?
Sure not.
sure not, right? The government added 99,000 more bureaucrats in a decade. And like, look, If the number of bureaucrats had just increased with population growth, right, Canada grew, and if the number of bureaucrats had just increased with population growth, there'd be so many less bureaucrats that taxpayers would save $7 billion every single year. So you ask me where to cut? Look, the numbers are the numbers. The math is the math. If you want to fix the budget and cut taxes, you have to shrink the bloated bureaucracy in Ottawa.
$7 billion a year?
With a B.
Okay. Again, we like to use the example of a hospital. Okay. A smallish but brand new hospital costs around $1 billion to build. So picture everybody gathering around on a Saturday night. Burn it down. There's nobody in it, so nobody's hurt. But picture a brand new shiny hospital, nice big glass doors, everybody's ready to move in. Burn it down instead. Seven of those per year. if they just kept, did you just say kept the population of the bureaucrats in line with the population of Canada?
That's it. So like still growing the bureaucracy. So I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying how crazy out of control the bureaucrat hiring spree was.
Man, it is too early in the morning to start drinking. Hey, let's make ourselves feel better. Let's talk to Carson about the spending that is going on and the waste that is going on in British Columbia. Now, full disclosure, I was born and raised in British Columbia. I just got back from there. We were visiting my husband's family, drove out to Courtney. Absolutely gorgeous place to live. My theory is that people get screwed there harder and longer because British Columbians feel guilty about living in such a beautiful place. They think it's like a sin tax for having a gorgeous environment. That's not the case, folks. You should be standing up and mad as hell because government at all levels are wasting your money. And Carson, you're on to something here with Global News as well in BC about the amount of waste and graft and pork at the municipal level of government. So yeah. At city hall level, just hit us with it. Paint us a picture. What is going on there?
Well, Chris, you're absolutely right. Us British Columbians are too busy looking at the mountains to notice that the politicians are picking our pockets and robbing us blind. So let me paint a picture here. In BC, we've got municipalities, we've got the provincial government, but then we've also got an in-between level, our regional districts. Where I live, it's Metro Vancouver Regional District. Now, on top of taking home really big salaries for being mayors, for being city councillors, a lot of politicians are double dipping and billing taxpayers hundreds of thousands of dollars a year just for attending those regional district meetings. So let me give you just one example here, Chris. There's a city just outside of Vancouver called Richmond. It's, if you've ever flown into YVR Airport, you're landing in Richmond and then taking the train to the city of Vancouver. Richmond's mayor is a gentleman named Malcolm Brody. Malcolm Brody's base salary is $244,000 a year. That's a whole lot of change. For context, Premier David Eby, the provincial premier, makes $227,000. So in base salary alone, the mayor of Richmond is taking home more than the provincial premier. But doesn't end there for Mr. Brody, because on top of his base salary, he's also been billing taxpayers a whole lot of money for attending meetings. Now that raises some eyebrows. Chris, Franco, do you guys bill our boss, Todd, more for attending our weekly staff meetings? Because I sure as heck don't.
I wish.
I wish, man.
Yeah, I think if we told old man McKay we want a meeting bonus, he'd laugh us out of his office. That phone call would last about 30 seconds, and there would be some choice language from old man McKay's end of the conversation.
It would be spicy, yes.
Yeah. So for going to Metro Vancouver meetings, Malcolm Brody took home $64,000 last year just for attending the meetings. For attending TransLink meetings, which is our regional transportation authority, he took home an additional 40,000 smackaroos from taxpayers. But it doesn't end there, folks. TransLink has a board that oversees it. It's called the South Coast Transportation Authority. For attending those meetings, Malcolm Brody took home $24,000 last year. To go to Municipal Finance Authority meetings, an extra $28,000 from tapped out taxpayers. For the folks who are following along at home with your calculators out, that brings us to $397,000 in compensation. That's $153,000 extra just from showing up to meetings. You can't make this stuff up. $153,000 bonus just for showing up to meetings and doing your job. This is a slap in the face. Like, no wonder we're the epicenter of the national affordability crisis. No wonder folks can't afford homes in Greater Vancouver and Metro Vancouver when politicians are hiking taxes every single year and robbing us blind so they can live a life of luxury.
That Carson. Is disgusting.
Sorry. Hey, go Carson. Franco. Yeah, it is disgusting. Can you just break that down? Sorry. What's his like normal salary? And then what's his little meeting bonus? Can you like break them down again? Because I almost threw up.
Absolutely. Base salary, 244,000.
Wait, hold on a sec. Timeout. The mayor of Richmond.
Yeah.
His salary is what?
$244,000 to be mayor of a Vancouver suburb.
That's insane. Home. Okay. Take off more than 100,000 of it. Okay. Why would you even be getting six figures to be a mayor of Richmond?
Yeah. Why is it being kind of like, man.
But like, seriously, why would you be getting $244,000 as your salary?
Oh, that's exactly right, Franco. So $244,000 base salary, $153,000. That's his meeting bonus from all those different boards he's sitting on. $153,000
extra. $153,000
extra
from sitting on his butt in meetings, maybe virtually, maybe actually there. That is more than double what the average Canadian working salary is.
Yeah. He makes more. Yeah.
Just their freaking meeting bonus. Yeah. It is, to your point exactly, Carson, and I know, Franco, you spent time living there in the Greater Vancouver Regional District, as it used to be called. it's no wonder. It's one of the least affordable places to live on Earth. Like, on Earth. At least Manhattan has Staten Island that you can go live on, or you can live in upstate and take the train down. Like, people in Vancouver in that area, they're trapped living there, or they're trapped in their cars driving up the Fraser Valley to commute into work from houses they can barely afford. And it's because of crap like this that it's unaffordable. Now, is this at all connected, forgive me that I'm just popping this question to you, is this at all connected to some of those crazy expenses we were hearing about meetings they were attending, like in Toronto or whatever? Weren't they going to some wine tasting thing in Toronto that is nowhere near Vancouver, for those of you who don't have an atlas?
Ding, ding, ding. You hit the nail on the head here, Chris. So Metro Vancouver, which let's not forget, gave Malcolm Brody $64,000 just for attending meetings last year. They're one of the most wasteful government organizations in Canada, hands down. Let's talk about some of their recent spending scandals. $64,000 on a wine and cheese reception at a 5-star hotel in Toronto for their directors. Now, last time I checked, Toronto is pretty darn far away from Metro Vancouver. Metro Van also spends hundreds of thousands of dollars a year doing things like sponsoring the PNE, a big fair, for some reason, needs Metro Vancouver's sponsorship. This is the same organization that's overseeing the North Shore Wastewater Treatment Plant. That should be sending chills down any British Columbian spine who's listening right now. That poo treatment plant is billions of dollars over budget, years behind schedule, and adding hundreds of dollars to families' property tax bills because of mismanagement from Metro Vancouver. And the city of Richmond, where Malcolm Brody is a bigwig, they're not doing much better, Chris. 6% tax hike on normal working families and businesses this year alone. The city of Richmond is currently under investigation by the RCMP, by the police, because they lost track of $300,000 worth of gift cards to steakhouses. Yeah, no, you heard me right. The city of Richmond.
I'm sure I didn't.
The city of Richmond spent at least $300,000. A forensic audit is going back further to see if that figure might be a little bit higher, but at least $300,000 buying gift cards to high-end restaurants like The Keg and Cactus Club. Those were handed out to employees from a big bowl that was on a city bureaucrat's desk. Bureaucrats were coming in after work, grabbing a big handful of keg gift cards and heading out the door and getting a free dinner from taxpayers. There was no tracking over who received these gift cards, why they received these gift cards, but that's the kind of culture at City Hall that Malcolm Brody is overseeing. $300,000 worth of taxpayer-funded gift cards to steakhouses, gone. Disappeared into the ether.
That is one of the most blatant examples of waste I've ever heard.
Guys, Chris, you know this. Franco, you know this. I grew up in the developing world in Saharan Africa, in the Middle East. This is the type of corruption you see in Nigeria. It's not the type of thing we're used to seeing in Canada. But that's exactly what's happening in Richmond City Hall under Mr. $400,000 a year Malcolm Brody. It is unacceptable.
Just to be clear, the RCMP is investigating that whole reach into the bowl and take your gift card crap going to very specific steakhouses, I will point out.
That's
in
right.
British Columbia.
That's right. A really great journalist from Global News named Catherine Urquhart put a ton of pressure on the province, on the city of Richmond to get to the bottom of this. And as a result, the RCMP are actively investigating how $300,000 worth of gift cards to steakhouses went missing.
This is the kind of stuff that Sam Cooper was getting whistleblowers about. And anybody who hasn't followed Sam Cooper, independent investigative journalist out of BC, you should probably start doing that. I will point out also with Metro Vancouver, is one of the least accountable bodies of government I've ever encountered, like in my life. I remember specifically it was 2018 and I got a whistleblower phone call late on a Friday afternoon, just cruising into a 2 week long spring break for the kids. So it would have been March, April. So all of British Columbia was going to be getting a two week long break from school. Late Friday afternoon, I don't know who this good soul was that phoned me because they hung up. They said, go check out Metro Vancouver. They just voted themselves a leaving bonus. And what happened was those mayors, I know, Franco, this is just before you joined the team. It's going to blow your mind. Yeah, I know. Just wait. This is a crazy story. So these mayors, okay, folks, these mayors are paid. Okay, they're already paid like gross amounts of money, like Carson just explained. In Richmond's case, more than 200 grand a year. They then went, toddled their way down to Metro Vancouver's building, sat their butts around the table in chairs occasionally to go to those meetings. They got paid hundreds of dollars per meeting. Because some of these mayors, Franco, were not
They're gonna miss a meeting.
Just wait. Because some of them chose to no longer seek re-election. They voted themselves a leaving bonus. I mean, and I'm talking thousands of dollars. Like walking out the door on their little trotter hind legs like the pigs they were with a big bag of taxpayers' money, thousands of dollars. And I said, okay, this is not happening. I'm not happy with this. I'm phoning, right? I did a big story on it. I called Metro Vancouver and said, give me the minutes so I can see who voted which way to give themselves this leaving bonus. They don't keep minutes of the votes.
Well, of course, hey.
And they kept no records.
I bet it was just a huge coincidence that they did this vote right before March break, eh? Huge coincidence.
Hey, things happen.
Friday before March break.
Chris, it is so gross.
Let me give you just another little bit of flavor for Metro Vancouver, because that's when you were here in BC a few years ago now. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, it was a few months ago now, Metro Vancouver held a meeting to see if they could possibly find any savings for taxpayers. That meeting cost taxpayers $20,000 in meeting bonuses. One mayor, Mayor Sager from West Vancouver, zoomed in from the beach. Palm trees in the background, Hawaiian shirt unbuttoned down to here, zoomed in from the beach to collect his meeting bonus. This meeting to find taxpayers' savings cost $20,000. Do you want to guess how many savings they found?
Like, oh God.
Zero. Zilch. Not a dime. The culture at Metro Vancouver, folks, you can't explain it. I would actually encourage people to tune in on their website to some of their meetings live, and you'll see what we're talking about. Just pigs lined up at the trough. It is unacceptable.
That is so gross, and I'm so glad we got to surprise Franco with something. That was great. It's rare that happens.
That's nuts.
Yeah, not too often.
That stuff is nuts. Now I feel like here's what the audience is listening to, like all the time. They don't know, like, what the...
So gross.
I can't even say that word.
It's to be clear, I know, I wish we could say the word. That'd be a much spicier podcast. Maybe we should do a paywall after. We won't beep ourselves after. This is why it's important to remember, A, the reason why we're laughing, folks, we know it's not funny, is because alternatively, we'll just cry. And two, these people very clearly take themselves super seriously. Like, they think they're freaking landed dukes or something. So one of the only weapons we have as mere peasants is mockery. We have to point and laugh at these pigs at the trough and call them out on their terrible, wasteful spending. Point and laugh, be the fool in the Shakespeare play who actually knows what's going on around you, and point it out. Carson, thank you so much for highlighting this for us. Is there any other, like, you know, loose end that we need to tie up on that? Is there a way for people to fight back against this crap?
Yeah, so just as a leaving note, the president of the United States makes about as much as the mayor of Richmond once you count all those bonuses. Folks, enough is enough. Pick up your phone, send an email, let Metro Vancouver know that taxpayers are done paying these hundreds of thousands of meeting bonuses when all we get is higher taxes, less accountable government, and more wasteful spending from these regional districts.
Is that your taxpayer pro tip?
Oh, you know what? I hadn't even thought of that, Chris. But,
well, there, that counts as your taxpayer pro tip. I'll come around to you, the class to you, Franco. What's your goodbye taxpayer pro tip for our dear listeners?
Oh, man. Yeah. Listen to what Carson said. I'm not even close to Vancouver, and I might have to write an email just because of my blood pressure. Okay. So my taxpayer pro tip goes out to everyone listening and all the supporters out there of the CTF. Like, look, we mentioned this launch of a spending review by the Carney government, and that the government union boss is already lighting their hair on fire. Okay. They're already fear mongering. The Canadian Union of Public Employees called the potential savings draconian rollbacks. And look, they promised to fight to defend against the devastating impacts that Mr. Carney's cuts will have. That's a direct quote from that government union. Okay. And like, look, they're going to light their hair on fire. They're going to play Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. So what our politicians need from you, from us, is they need to know that ordinary Canadians support spending cuts, are tired of the government wasting our money. So you know that these union bosses, they're going to do a ton of media. They're going to, you know, throw fits. They're going to whine. They're going to complain. They're going to make a bunch of noise. But what we have to do with the taxpayer army is we have to show politicians, the government, that ordinary Canadians are so fed up with governments hiking our taxes, wasting our money. So we have to get off the bench and get into this fight and show them that ordinary Canadians are saying enough is enough. And the first way that you can do it, we'll have a link in the show notes here, is sign the petition to end wasteful government spending. So add your name to that petition and show politicians that ordinary Canadians are just sick and tired of it, okay? Enough is enough. Cut spending. Ordinary Canadians support that.
That is a great taxpayer pro tip. Mine is similar, but it's specific to the province of Alberta. Now, again, a quick briefing. A lot of the mainstream media, they didn't mean to, but they accidentally got it wrong. They're now saying that, oh, Alberta's in a big surplus. Alberta's in a big surplus. We have money to spend. No, that's not true. What we saw recently from Finance Minister Nate Horner, according to him too, was the year end of 2024. Fiscal year end. That's like the end of a chapter of a book you're done reading, okay? We are currently still piling money onto the debt, okay? When you use the term deficit, they're still projecting like a more than $5 billion deficit for this fiscal year. So that is super important to understand, because we need the provincial government, Premier Danielle Smith, to cut spending. She must stop piling money onto the debt, because you're spending about $3 billion a year on debt interest payments. So we at the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, right now we're writing our big pre-budget report. That's where we hand it to the nerds at the finance department. I use that term affectionately, okay? We hand it to them and we say things like, here's where you can cut spending. Here's where you can balance the budget. That's where you come in, dear listener. We want to hear from you as whistleblowers where you want the provincial government to cut spending. Do you see waste at the provincial level of government that you want cut back? Because exactly to Franco's point, the big government union bosses are going to fight loud and dirty, and they're already doing it. You've probably already heard things like Premier Danielle Smith wants to cut the budget for popsicles for sick children in hospital. Like, shut up. Like, That is one of the dirtiest, weirdest tricks in the book, and all big government unions do it, no matter what government is actually in power. No matter what party's in power, they will pull out the dirtiest weapons they possibly can in order to keep the spending taps open. They don't care if it's the NDP in power or the UCP. So that's where you come in, dear listener. Where do you want to see spending cuts? Where are you seeing government waste? Contact us, go to taxpayer.com. Let us know where you are seeing government waste. While you're there, sign the petitions like Franco just mentioned. Doing that makes you part of the standing army of tax fighters. And the next time it's time to take on a big government union, or to tell the fat cat sitting around Metro Vancouver's meeting table to get off the teat, to quit taking taxpayers' money just for showing up kind of to a meeting, that's where you guys come in. So head on over to taxpayer.com, sign the petitions, join the tax fighter army.